Greetings. Welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm the after-dinner speaker. I'll try to keep you awake. If you see the person in front of you start to nod off, just feel free to give them a little flip. You can flip Bob anytime you want, though. Just give him a little nudge there. I appreciated the song. I look out in the congregation I'm going to preach to, and almost everyone here has answered that call, is on that path, has been baptized, has received the Holy Ghost, and we're on that path. And that's what I want to talk about this afternoon, somewhat. I believe the Lord has given me a topic and a message. I have doubts in my ability to deliver it. So I would appreciate an interest in your prayers. I know how weak I am of speech and other things, but as I get older, but the Lord did deliver a couple words to my mind this past week, may have been week before last, and it brought me to a song, and I don't normally go to songs, and I thought I knew the title of the song, and I kept looking and looking and looking and looking, and I said, man, I know this song, it's got to be transformed. Well, not in our songbook. It's not transformed. It's 164, and why we didn't title it Transformed, I don't know. It's Dear Lord, Take Up the Tangled Strands. But I don't want to read the whole song. I want to just read the chorus. And this is part of what the Lord has brought to my mind. And it says, transformed by grace divine, the glory shall be thine. To thy most holy will, O Lord, we now are all resigned. We who have been baptized recognize that we're on that path of transformation. It didn't totally happen when we went down into the waters of baptism. Our sins were washed away. We made that covenant with the Lord. We made that covenant that we would follow him, that we would be like him. But in that transformation, it only happens because of God's grace to us. The grace that he offers to you and I, that I am transformed. And when it happens, who's going to be glorified? Is my brother Mike or Bob going to be glorified? When that transformation happens, God's going to be glorified. He wants to see that change in you and I as we walk this path. And all that it requires, it was we submit ourselves to his will. Submit ourselves to that gift that he's already given us, that we can trust him, that Holy Ghost. And with that, it begins that transformation. It's not a harsh thing. You know, the 8th chapter of Romans talks all about it. I'm not going to read the 8th chapter of Romans, but it talks about changing from the flesh to the spiritual. And that's what the Lord expects us to be, wants us to be, not for just himself, but for us, for our well-being. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. You know, I look back in my life, and I had a really easy childhood. So did Mike. So did my brother Jim. We were really blessed in our life. And Dad asked us a few things. Mom asked of us a few more things. And she asked us to submit to her will a little bit. Mike was, how can I describe my brother Mike? He was a little stubborn when he was younger. Yeah. And he would test. But there was never any doubt in our minds that whatever Mom or Dad asked of us, it was the best for us. It wasn't for them. It was for us. And that's what the Lord offers to you through that gift that he's given to you after baptism. A way to fulfill the will that he has for you and I. So what is it to be transformed? What are some synonyms for transformed? Anybody got a synonym for transformed besides converted? Altered, changed, transfigured. They're all really good synonyms. I like remade. I really like that. What I really want to get to is change to what? Well, you're going to say, well, I'm changed from the flesh to the spiritual. No, I want you to think beyond that. To what? Jesus was spiritual, right? He was a spiritual being. To what? I'll answer that a little later. I want to turn to my brother mentioned Frank, and as we listened to that this morning, I think most of us, especially the family, shut their eyes and listened to that, and we saw Frank. And we remembered him preaching those words. And David's right. That scripture that he read was his favorite scripture. He used it constantly. His favorite song was 2:11. Without a doubt, blessed assurance. That was his favorite song. We used it over and over and over again in the Philippines when I was over there. Never grew tired of that. But I want to turn to one of my favorite scriptures, and it's in 2 Peter, the first chapter, and it deals somewhat with what I'm attempting to present this afternoon. The first chapter. Fourth verse. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what I want to attain. That's what the Lord wants you to attain to, is the divine nature. Now, if you read right here, it doesn't say we will be partakers of the divine nature. It says we might. The choice, and there's always a choice to be made, is yours and mine. We already have, through his grace, that Holy Ghost. We have Jesus Christ residing within us. Those of you that have been baptized, had hands laid upon you, it's there. Now it's your choice whether you listen to it, whether you rely on it, whether you call on it, or you kind of call on it. That's the choice. And as I thought about that, and I thought about my life and the choices that I continue to make, yes, I have it. And yes, I listen to it. Sometimes I choose to recognize it. Sometimes I choose not to recognize it. But I want to turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And I want to read, to begin with, the 31st and the 32nd verse. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, for thee, that thy faith fail not, and that when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, he only said this to Peter. You know, I've read this over and over and over, and I poured over it in my mind. Now, granted, maybe he said it to the others, but it's not recorded anywhere. He said it to Peter. And I asked myself, okay, why Peter? You know, why not John or James or whatever? You know, I looked it up, and Peter's name, in one form or the other, whether it's Simon or Cephas, appears 191 times in the Gospels. All the 11 other disciples are there 130 times. John is the next, like 48. So I asked myself, why? I'm going to go back and read. Oh, I'm going to start with the 23rd verse. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them should do this thing. Now, Jesus told them, preceding verse, I'm sorry, that one of them was going to betray him. Okay? And so they were. But the next thing, the very next thing upon their mind was this. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I have appointed you, all of you, all twelve, the kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink in my at my table in my kingdom, and sit down on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is to all 12 of them, not just Peter. And then he turned to Peter, and that's when he said what I just read. And he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Mike, what did Mom say when she wanted to get your attention and correct you? Michael, Elmo, Stephen, Wayne, Kevin, Wayne. That's what he's saying here. And he's using the term Simon. He's not calling him Peter. It's a, just like Mom, when I was in trouble, she wanted to correct me. That's what she said. You know, otherwise it was Steve, or they called me Ivan. I don't know why they called me Ivan, but they called me Ivan. Mike might know, but I don't know why. But this was what the Lord was doing in his correction. But if you look right down, when he starts addressing Peter a little later, what's he calling? He's no longer correcting. What's he calling? He calls him Peter. He's already made that correction in his life. And then he says, but I have prayed for thee. Can you imagine that? Jesus is sitting there looking at Peter and saying, Peter, Satan wants you, but I have prayed for you. Guess what? Jesus has prayed for you and me. You have him residing within you, that spirit, that Jesus, praying for you. Not Stephen Wayne. He's praying for Stephen. He's praying for Michael. Praying for Kevin. I can't imagine anything better. I can't think of anything better in my life than the knowledge through the grace of Jesus Christ we have that within us. That spirit. You guys have been baptized. You have it. Is there anything better? Yes, there is. When you answer and when you follow that voice. So why did he just address Peter? It's not because he was, some churches would think because he was going to be the head of the church. No, he wasn't. You look up here, he says he's going to have the 12 apostles judging Israel. It was not for that purpose. He said, when thou art converted. He didn't say it might happen. When, as I read in Peter, it might. Jesus already knew Peter was going to be converted, not partially, not partially listen to that gift that he's been given. He is going to be transformed into something marvelous. He's going to be changed as he wants you to be changed. And it will happen. If you answer, if you listen, there's no might about it. All it depends upon, I'm thankful that nobody's had to flip anybody yet. But this isn't long, so you may not have to. But as I read in that, he wants us to be a partaker of that divine nature. Peter is the example. I think he's the perfect example. And I think that's the only reason that he used Simon, and Peter here. We look at Simon. Look at his life. He was baptized, right? He was baptized. So what did he do? Denied Christ 3 times, didn't he? Went up and took a sword and smote off a guy's ear, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He was just arguing about, hey, I want to be the greatest in heaven. But he's baptized, just like you and I. But he wasn't transformed. He wasn't truly converted, but the Lord knew he would be. That's why it's mentioned. We can look at Peter in the scriptures. I can look at his life before. I can look at those 2 letters that he wrote to the church. And see something different. I can see a person that no longer has any fleshly desire in him. I see a Christ-like person, don't you? When you read 1 and 2 Peter and you see that compassion and that love that he has, That's why. That's the only reason why he chose Peter. And when did it happen with Peter? I don't know. I think I know when it started. I think it probably started the day of Pentecost. You know, and when he wrote the letters, Rick would know. I think it's some 30, 32 years later, something like that, when he wrote the letters to. So somewhere along that, there was a process. Okay? And I happen to believe, just a hunch, that it didn't happen overnight to Peter. I think it took a process. I think there's others, if we read in the scriptures, Enos, and I'll read about Enos, I think it happened just like that. Just like that. But I know that he was transformed and changed and converted to that divine nature. I know it was completed. All I have to do, and maybe it's me, I don't get emotional very often. Very easily. I don't. And that's not a good thing. But I don't. But every time I read Peter, I do. Because I can feel, just like I can feel Jesus talking. I mean, because he is simply of that nature. So I ask the question, to what? Transformed to what? To be a spiritual? No. I want you to think about that. What do you want to be transformed to? What do you see in Jesus that you don't see in yourself? I looked at this, and I immediately had the answer. A tender heart. A soft heart. If there's anything I want to be, if there's anything I want to be transformed into, someone with that tender and that soft heart, just like Jesus, just like Peter. I want that for me. I want that for you. That's what Jesus wants for all of us. Every preacher stands up here at some time or other and says, you know, this sermon is for me. Well, this sermon is for me because I asked the question, I got the answer, and that's what I need. And I think if we look at ourselves, it's what all of us needs. It's what all of us really want. To have the heart of Jesus Christ. I want to turn to Luke, the 19th chapter. And I'm going to read 41 through 44. And this is Jesus. And he's coming to Jerusalem. He's standing before Jerusalem. And he's standing outside and he's looking inside and he's looking at these people. And what did he do? He wept. He wept. He says, if thou hadst known, even now, at least in this day, thy things which belong to thine peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for thy days shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around about and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And then thou shalt not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They didn't recognize Jesus Christ. They didn't recognize him. These are the people that rejected him. His own people that rejected him. That wanted him crucified. That mocked him. And what did he do? He sat before the gates and he wept. And he wept. And he wept. I want that heart. I want that heart. He wants me to have that heart. That tender heart. I want to turn to Enos. Now, you know, this is only, you all know this. This is only one chapter, right? Enos is very short, very direct. And we know, I'm going to read 12. Now, no, I'm not going to read 12. I'm going to read 7 down through it. And there came a voice unto me saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Therefore, my guilt was swept away. Didn't need to be baptized. Okay, he wasn't baptized. But he knew, he heard the voice of Jesus Christ and said, your sins are forgiven. They're swept away. They're gone. And I said, Lord, how is it done? Because he knew it was done. He knew it was done. And he saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen. And many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Therefore, oh, I love this. He says, go to it. Go to it. That's what Cody was saying this morning. Go to it. Go to it. Us, the ministry, and the lay members. Go to it. Thy faith has made thee whole. And what happened? I believe at that particular time he was transformed. And he was converted. He received that spirit. And he acted on it wholly. Because of what is in 12. And now it came to pass, when I heard these words, I began to feel the desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore, I did pour out my whole soul. My whole soul unto them for God. In 17, it talks about, it didn't go away. It didn't go away, that feeling. That soft heart, that tender heart, he begins to worry about the Lamanites, the ones that had walked away. His heart was softened, was tender. What was working in him? The Holy Ghost. And he submitted to it. tender, pure heart. It's the heart that Peter had. It's the heart that I have. You know what my problem is? Me. Me. You can be, have that same heart. Problem is, I'm judgmental. I look at situations, and through my own wisdom, I make a decision. I look at that guy by the side of the road, and I think, his shoes look better than mine. I'm going to use a catchphrase. I cannot imagine Enos or Jesus or Peter looking at that man and making that judgment call through their own mind. I can't imagine. But I do it. I do it. And I dare say, I do it. Sometimes I call it wisdom. You know, I need to be a good steward. And I use wisdom. I don't know, but I know what the scriptures talks about, man's wisdom. And most of the time, that's what I'm using. Or I make excuses. I make excuses. So what do you want? I don't think I'm all wet here. I don't think the Lord gave me, maybe he did, give it just to me. But I don't think so. I don't think so. When you say transformed, when you say converted, when you say changed, when you say remade, what do you want to be remade into? I want you to think about it. I want you to think, isn't that really what you want to absolutely have when it talks about Peter having that divine nature? Doesn't it mean a tender heart? And a soft heart, and one that looks only to the needs of others. I want you to pray for me, because I need it, that I don't do what I've been doing, that I will listen to that Holy Ghost that I've been given through the grace of God. That you've been given through the grace of God to lead you there through that pathway, in that pathway, to be changed. You know, I think I'm going to stop. But I want to end with a verse that Cody ended with this morning out of the Book of Mormon. And I want to, I don't need to explain it, but I'm going to explain it. At least the way I Look at it. Okay. And it's the 53rd verse of the 7th chapter of Moroni. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart that ye may be filled with the love which he has bestowed upon all who are true followers. That's the Holy Ghost. That's Jesus Christ within you. And he who have received that gift. You're a true follower. You've been baptized. You've had hands laid upon you. You have it. You've received the gift. But he wants you to be transformed, to be changed, to be completely converted, to have that tender and soft heart. That's why you pray with all the energy of your heart, that you might be filled with it, that you'll listen to that direction that's within you. That's why you're praying. I want that because he wants it for me. And he wants it for me so through me, he can receive all that glory, the glory that he rightfully deserves, because I'm not doing it. He is. All I'm doing is listening and following. It's ours. It's ours. He's given us the way to be perfect in his love. I'm not going to go on. I've said what I want to say, and I hope you've received it, and I hope you more than think about it. I hope you pray about it and ask yourself, what do I really want? No. Ask yourself, what does Jesus really want for me? I want to thank you for your time, and I hope I've done what the Lord wanted me to do. Thank you.